In high school, I was on a track and field team, but it wasn't your typical track and field team. No, this was a military-style team. I attended a local military high school where every day we would come to school in the old ACUs and dress uniforms. And on any given day, in the dead heat of a Floridian summer, you would see our team running around with the big camo uniforms, a rather large belt with just a small canteen for water attached to it. And we would run miles and miles around our little town in just one practice. And I remember one day, it was the hottest day it had been all summer. It was so hot that the regular high school sports teams had either started canceling practices or moved them indoors. But not our team. No, we were slated to complete a 5-mile run and a full practice that day because we were the best. And that's how you stayed the best. And I remember about a mile and a half or so into my run, I started to feel a little faint. And my legs started to give out. And my heart was beating so hard that I felt it in my head. And so I looked at my other teammates to see how they were doing. And I realized that they weren't doing so well either. We were suffering. We were in pain. And so we begged our coach, just let us take a 5-minute break. But instead he simply barked, embrace the pain. It'll make you stronger in the end. Embrace the pain. It'll make you stronger in the end. Well, that wasn't the advice that we were wanting to hear at that time. After all, that's not how you talk to someone who is hurting. You don't tell them to celebrate their suffering. You don't tell them to embrace and rejoice in their pain. That's not just bad advice. That's dangerous advice. But it's exactly the advice that Paul appears to be giving to the church in Rome. He tells them to boast in their suffering. At least that's what it sounds like when he says, and we boast in our sufferings because we know that our suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and our character produces hope. Now, why would he say something like that? Why would he say something like that to these people? You see, Rome was not a safe place to be a Jesus follower at that time. Christians in Rome were criminalized. They were hunted. They were thrown into jail and murdered. Could you imagine what that must have felt like? To constantly have to look over your shoulder, to mourn the loss of someone who didn't deserve to die, to constantly live in fear that today might be the day that you were captured and tortured also. The Roman church was suffering. The Roman church was in pain. And Paul says to boast, celebrate in your suffering. We boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. We all experience suffering in this life, and it is never easy. It is never something to be excited about. So why? Why is Paul telling us to boast in it this morning? Does God want us to celebrate the most difficult moments in our lives, when our lives feel like they are about to end? Are we supposed to celebrate divorce? Are we supposed to boast in the death of our loved ones? Rejoice when our child comes home from school and tells us that they have been bullied? No. No, I don't think that's what Paul is trying to tell us this morning. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a theologian in Germany during the rise of Hitler and the Third Reich. Bonhoeffer was bold in speaking out against Hitler and Hitler's version of Christianity and all of the doctrines that he was promoting. Bonhoeffer was arrested and spent the last few months of his life in a Nazi concentration camp. We know what life was like in those camps. We've seen the pictures. We've heard the stories. But even in the midst of that horror, Bonhoeffer pastored. He pastored. He showed love to the people that he was imprisoned with. One of the survivors remembers Bonhoeffer, and he said that his soul really shone in the depths and the deep desperation of our prison. His soul really shone in the deep, dark depths of our prison. Even 10 years after Bonhoeffer's execution, the camp doctor at the time remembered Bonhoeffer and the ways that Bonhoeffer impacted his life. The doctor said that he had never met such a lovable man. Moments before Bonhoeffer's execution, the doctor remembered him kneeling on the floor, praying fervently to God. And when he was done, Bonhoeffer got up, stepped into the gallows. Brave and composed, the doctor recalls, without a hint of fear. The story of Bonhoeffer's faith always, always amazes me. But it isn't what brings me hope in his story this morning. What brings me hope is that in the midst of his own suffering, he saw an opportunity to be an example, to reach out and be a light to others around him. He knew that the pain and suffering that he was experiencing wasn't the end. God was still at work. Maybe this is what Paul means. Maybe this is what it means to boast. Not in our suffering, but at what God has promised in the midst of our suffering. God promises that death never has the final word. God promises that God will never abandon us in times of immense pain and heartache. So we can boast because we know that what we are currently experiencing isn't all that God has in store for us. We can boast because God is still at work pouring God's love into us, even in the midst of our darkest days. And we can boast because even though we are in the midst of suffering, God is working hard to transform the pain that we are feeling. Because our God transforms. Our God transforms suffering into endurance. God transforms endurance into character. And God transforms character into hope. God's love begins to transform suffering. When you receive card after card, casserole, after the death of your mother, when you hear all of the stories of the ways that she impacted those around her, when you see her favorite flower, or feel her presence and the rush of a wind. God's love transforms suffering. When you walk into the cancer clinic for your very first treatment and you're greeted with a warm smile and you sit next to a patient and have a life-giving conversation about your friends, your family, your church, that helps distract you from the pain that you are feeling. God's love transforms suffering when you are having the absolute worst day of your life and you feel like everything is just spinning out of control. Your kids are driving you crazy and you want to pull out all of your hair. And then you get a phone call from a friend reminding you that you are loved. You are cherished. God's love is at work in the simplest of conversations that remind you that you are not alone. It's in the little moments that give you the strength to keep going day after day after day. God's love continues to transform our suffering until one day the suffering that we experience gives way to hope. Thanks be to God that we still have hope. Amen. Will you bow your heads and join me in a word of prayer? God, we thank you that you are ever present with us. We thank you that we don't have to do this life all on our own, that you walk with us. Your Spirit leads us and sends people to us when we need them the most. God, help us to recognize those moments as you being present with us. It's in your holy name that I pray, and we pray together. Amen.